This is a production from the Yak Podcasting Network. The home for your growing sonic map of local voices, united in their commitment to the best in podcasting.
Amazing, amazing. Another week. That means another Drunk Uncle podcast. I'm in a good mood, so you know what that means. Be free, life full of hearts and men, just breathe. Speak, be heard for yours and just leave. Gotta break codes of silence, hear more straight from violence. No more bully sirens, we won the lions. Common sense need applying. Sick of all separation, rise up from hatred. Black, white, unite the nation. Amazing, 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 so damn amazing. We live for days of no crime. We need more scholars, deep minds. Hands in the air. All right. See, we still always going to need a little crown and the MOB loving my people, especially right about now. Coronavirus time, we're all trying to hang in there and get through it. But you know what? At a time like this, I told you, you know, we had some little skittish moments after the season, but Drunk Uncle has promised you I'm going to be here. Drunk Uncle's not going to leave you, because this is now more than ever is when you need a Drunk Uncle. Now more than ever is when you need a quality podcast. And now more than ever is going to be the time that I produce it for you. So welcome back to your Drunk Uncle Sports Podcast. And I am your host, your Drunk Uncle, Anwar Richardson. And I got a special podcast planned today. You know, again, remember to tell you guys about trying to do new levels this year, trying to incorporate more interviews. So coming on a little bit later on in my podcast, going to be Brian Davis of the Austin American Statesman. And we're going to just talk about UT football, man. I'm just, you know, I've had, what is it, about at least three guests. Three out of the last four podcasts, I think I've had some guests. So trying to make sure I deliver. I'm calling in all the favors, man. I'm just calling in all the favors that I need right now for this podcast to make sure that we do it and do it damn well. And listen, first time listening to this podcast, just know that I do curse a little bit. So you must just listen to me in the most appropriate places. So if you and mama are on quarantine, you need to go into another room. If the kids are popping in and out of your office, you might want to put me on the headset. Okay, but I'm just telling you, do what you need to do. Because I never know what's going to fly out my mouth. That's what she said. So in any case, man, I hope everyone's staying safe, man. You know, last week I did an interview with Coach Tom Herman on Facebook Live. Went extremely well. And, you know, I think everyone got a chance to see a side of Tom Herman that they never really had a chance to see. But can I tell you about it? And if you haven't seen it, it's on our Facebook page, the Orange Bus Facebook page. Please feel free to go up there, watch it, share it with your friends. It was really a side of Tom Herman that I think most people have not seen. And I've just been getting tons of great reviews from the UT administration, from players to fans. I mean, just lots of great reviews on that interview. So check that out if you get a chance. But let me tell you about what happened the day before the interview. So the day before the interview, you guys know I'm very OCD. Like I'm just an OCD person. This is where my OCD-ness, which is probably not a word, came in handy. So I decided, I'm going to try to do a little test run to and just make sure everything's going well. And I use Be Live, you know, B-E period live, like TV as the, what is it, the app for it. And I usually, if I've used a webcam for all of my shows that I've done, especially with Jeff Ketchum, for the past 3 years now. And I said, let me just do a test run, make sure everything's going good. And then so all of a sudden, Be Live, when I sign in, has just a new design. So starting from there, new design. And the old design was easy. The new design was crazy, right? So I could not figure out how to do this new design. And by the way, just backstory on this, you know, one of the ideas that, you know, Herman had was to do a chat, and then Ketch and I talked, and we're like, eh, we don't like a chat. You know, that thing doesn't necessarily going to go well, because what's going to happen is within 10 minutes, you're going to have 3 or 4 pages. And then within 15 minutes, you're going to have probably 10 pages. And the next thing you know, you are 15 pages behind and you've only answered one page, and it's exhausting. So we went and started thinking about brainstorming, like, you know what, we should lose our Be Live format, have people submit questions. Like, it would be great, right? And so that's what we ended up doing. And within that day, I was supposed to do a test run with Coach Herman also. So I was going to do a test run with Ketch, going to do a test run with Herman, right? So the Be Live, I'm trying to figure out how this thing looks. Can't even figure this thing out. So I'm trying to figure it out, how I can get this thing started, so on and so forth. Well, finally figure it out, right? Use that University of South Florida degree that took me all of 6 years to get. And so my webcam is not working. And I was like, this thing is not working. I couldn't get the webcam to work. But what's crazy was I could get it to work on Zoom. I could get it to come on, but I just couldn't get it for Be Live. And so I called different people. I tried to see if they could help me out, so on and so forth. I'm like, okay, well, maybe there's something wrong with Be Live. I try to connect with the tech people. That thing's not working, right? So I was like, screw this. I'm in desperation mode. So I'm going to go out and just buy a new webcam. I don't know if you guys noticed or not. There are no webcams in Austin. None. I went to 4 different places wearing my little surgical mask, black guy running into the store with a mask. That was safe. Safe exercise. And so anyway, because everyone's working from home, kids have to be home and quarantine and doing school, like, webcams are gone. You think toilet paper is hard to find? You can't get a webcam anywhere. So then I was in desperation mode. And I said, man, I don't know what I'm going to do. So I said, I just said, and laptops are gone. Like, you can't, it's hard to find a laptop. So I said to myself, fine, I'm just going to buy a laptop. It's about like 5 o'clock. So literally I went to a store. I didn't like this laptop. And then Target didn't have any, Office Depot. Went to Office Depot. They didn't have any laptops. Like, they were out. They didn't have any laptops close in Austin. Like, they were out. And then Target didn't have any laptops. So I basically was able to get a laptop from Best Buy. Same day pickup, right? So I buy this laptop. I'm in desperate mode, because I'm like, we've been promoting the hell out of this thing. And if I don't have a laptop, we can't do it. And it's going to look bad. Right? So I buy a laptop, get the thing set up, try to get on this Be Live, right? Can't get on it. And I can't figure out this laptop. So here we are, it's getting close to the evening time. I haven't eaten all day long. I am stressed like a mofo. Can't get this damn thing on. I had my old laptop on. So I just, I hit refresh, and I noticed a little something finally. I hadn't seen it any other time. It was like in the right-hand corner. And then, listen, I had tried everything in trying to get this thing going. In any case, there's something in the right-hand in the URL, and it gave me the option to enable my webcam. But I did some other stuff to try to do that. It never worked. For some reason, there's like a little camcorder thing. Some of you smarter, more technical than me know exactly what I'm talking about. Almost like a little camera thing that was on the right-hand side. And I clicked on that, and voila, there it was. My damn webcam. And there it was. So here it was. It was there the whole time. I still didn't know what I was doing. So you know what I did? I made sure that my computer did not go to sleep for the next 24 hours. When can you go to sleep? Never. Because I was not risking it. And I was waking. I woke up at like 5 or 6 in the morning just to make sure the thing worked. And I stayed by that thing all day, babysitted, monitored it. And guess what? Finally was able to pull that thing off. And then I took the laptop back to Best Buy. And decided that I'm going to invest in a Mac. I'm going to avoid all these issues. And upgrade at some point. So that is my plan, and that's what's on my agenda. So that happened. But you saw a kinder, gentler Tom Herman in the interview. You know, people, I'll tell you what, people are being a little bit kinder and gentler. Let me tell you, over the weekend, my oldest son's mom, who I've let you guys know, she married a Sooner, right? So she, and God bless her, I mean, she's made tons of wrong decisions in her life. And so I would say getting married to you might have been a wrong decision, but you know what? Don't do that. Don't be that person. I just said it before you did, ass. So she made food. She called me. It was like Easter Sunday and like, hey, you know, I got some food for you. Like, why don't you just swing by and get some? And I you know, I had some lasagna. I was like, yo, you do know my life insurance goes to my son, right? You do know that, right? I took you off a long time ago. But she was nice. You know, I bought a bike. And so I'm going to start riding a bike with my son and and we play Connect Four over the weekend. Like, it just, everything's like nice. Like, it's just a nice, peaceful thing. I hope the positives, and before we get into the interview, I hope the positives from us being at home is something that we continue to take with us, right? I hope the family bonding, the reaching out to family members, you know, it's kind of like sometimes, like, you know, you have a death in the family and everyone is all around you for the first like couple of weeks, and then everyone kind of starts doing their own thing and goes back to it. I hope we don't hit a point where we just kind of go back to that type of normal. And I hope that we continue to be nice to each other. I mean, obviously not during Texas OU weekend, but the other times that matter, I hope everyone is nice to each other. And I hope everyone is doing great, man. Like I said, once again, I appreciate you listening to my podcast because you have so many other options out there, so many other things that you could be doing, especially now. You know, I've always told you that before, but we're on quarantine. You could be on Netflix. You can do Amazon. I mean, there are so many things that you could be just binge watching. But the fact that you decided to take 30 minutes to an hour or so to listen to my podcast, I really, really sincerely appreciate it. And I thank you from the bottom of my heart. Okay, now this is the part of the podcast that I am really, really, really looking forward to. You know, there's a lot of beat writers in different cities. And a lot of times, especially in college sports, there's like an East Coast, West Coast thing that happens between writers. People start clashing with each other, going at each other on Twitter, hating on each other. But there's one guy, like if there was the Bloods, he and I would be on the Bloods. If there was Crips, he and I would be on the Crips. If there were Latin Kings, he and I would be part of the Latin Kings. Because he's actually one of my good friends on the beat. I actually do have friends on the beat. And this is probably one of my best friends on the beat. And I don't give a damn if he works for a competitor. Maybe he doesn't even CSS competition, but I don't give a damn what he's doing. And I don't give a damn where he works for, because he's my friend and I'll freaking vouch for him. He's Brian freaking Davis from the Austin American Statesman. And I'm really happy to have you on my podcast.
Hello, sir. That was a fantastic intro. I am very, very happy to be on the Orange Bloods podcast. Any product disseminated by rivals, I feel very honored to participate in.
Well, technically, this is On Bars podcast, and this is your Drunk Uncle Sports podcast. And I am the host, the Drunk Uncle, Amara Richardson. So I wanted to talk to you because, first, we always talk all the time. But I wanted to talk to you because I feel like we've been seeing a different Tom Herman. We're in quarantine, like quarantine Tom Herman, a kinder, gentler Tom Herman that we haven't seen in a little bit. I want you to take us back because a couple of weeks ago, you had an article that was on the 28th, and it was, you know, and I think the headline was basically "With Texas Football on Hold, Tom and Michelle Find a New Normal in the Coronavirus Stoppage." And you were kind of the first person to really go behind the veil and get to talk to Coach Herman on a record in an intimate way. You spoke to his wife. That was the first time I've seen her interviewed. I want you to just maybe take us back to that interview itself and, you know, what you learned from him during that, because I think it's safe to say his guards are down.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt his guard is down. I think all of our guards are down, you know, because we're all locked up under house arrest trying to figure out, you know, what we're going to do each day. But that particular article, that particular piece came out of me kind of hammering on John Bianco, the Texas sports information guy. You know, what is Tom doing? What is Tom doing? What is Tom doing? And finally, whether it was just persistence or Tom wanting to talk, they said, hey, you know, you want to talk to Tom and Michelle? Yes, absolutely. And with the only caveat being is that don't get bogged down in football. And to be quite honest, I didn't really care about football. I mean, I didn't really care to know what the third string tight end was going to do, you know, here in the middle of the quarantine chronicle. Right. So,
yes.
You know, so I wanted to talk to Tom because I think the general public wanted to know, what is he doing? How are they doing as a family? You know, what are they doing to stay sane, quite frankly? And, you know, talking with Michelle, you're right. This was her first on the record interview, since, he became the head coach at Texas. And, you know, I found it interesting because I asked her the same questions that me and my wife were talking about. Is like, do you let friends come over? Do you let your kids go play at friends' house? Do they have a sleepover? Do they stay away? You know, these are very real questions that all parents are asking. I know you and your wife are talking about those same things. You know, it's like, do you let your kids play with other kids right now? And so that was sort of the genesis. And then it spun into, you know, football talk and Zoom meetings and how are you going to keep the team going, and just on and on from there.
So are you of the opinion, because I'm of this opinion, like there's a part of Tom Herman that must be that has decided in this time of quarantine, hey, you know what? I definitely want to let my guards down, maybe let some people in, because I did an interview with him last week. Right. And, you know, and I saw a side of him that
which was great, by the way.
Thank you. And I saw a side of him that I just hadn't seen. You know, he's going to do some other interviews with some other websites, but I mean, are you with me that says there's something within him that says, listen, I want to foster better relationships with the media. I want to maybe allow people to see a different side of me that maybe they haven't seen in a meme or a GIF. And in some ways, I wouldn't say it's important to him, but in some ways, maybe it is like something that he wants to change the image out there. You kind of with me on that one?
No, I'm definitely with you. I mean, look, whether it was by choice or it was by forced upon him, I genuinely think that something has clicked in him, in that what people see publicly is not who he really is, right? And you and I have seen glimpses of that, you know, over the last 3 years. There are times when we felt like, okay, here's Tom Herman, Texas football coach. And then there's other times where it's like, here's Tom Herman, you know, cool dude. Right, just a regular guy, right? And the problem is those two personas intersect, you know, in a very public way because of his job, right? You know, there were times early on where I thought that, and I'm talking about in 2017, but definitely in 2018, I felt like there were times when Tom was sort of acting the role of this is how Mac Brown would expect me to act as the head football coach at Texas, right? Mm-hmm. And you and I know that, like, that's not his personality. He has a different persona. And it's just like, there were times where I wanted to go, hey, man, just relax. You know, it's all going to be okay. You know, you're the head coach, and, you know, what you say goes. And I honestly think that this gets back to, we saw this with Charlie. We definitely saw this with Tom. You have to grow into the role of carrying the weight of the program on your shoulders. And I think that's hard to do. It's not going to happen overnight or even in 1 year, really.
You know, the one thing I noticed, Brian, was like, you've been at every one of his press conferences. And so have I. Mm-hmm. And the one thing I've always noticed at his press conferences, he's always on guard. Like, if a question is asked, he's not sure where you might be going with that question, he demands clarity, right? And he wants you to clarify once or twice, or sometimes to say, I don't understand what you mean. It's him getting ahead
and getting ahead of, you know, because he's smart enough, you know, he wanted to be in journalism, right? So he gets this question is probably looking for this answer, meaning you're writing this story. So what do you think now that you see, you've talked to him, you've seen me talk to him, like, what do you think about this guy that we're seeing? Not the podium Tom that we've seen before, where it's I'm looking for something and I'm keeping you at a safe distance, but a guy who's like, yeah, I'm cool, I'm just one of the guys. He one thing he'll say is, this side of, I've always had this side of me, just never see it. Of course, because you haven't let us see it. So what do you, now that you're seeing this guy, what's your impressions?
You know what I think it is that I think what we're seeing is a guy who is finally not only at peace with his position, his professional position, but I think it's a guy who has the true confidence that, hey, this program is on the right track. I'm the right guy. And, you know, we have big things ahead, because this sort of goes back to the old axiom, you know, fake it until you make it. Right. I mean, let's be honest, when he came in 2017 and forced all those changes on the players, there was a ton of internal griping. You know, people didn't like, you know, soggy pancakes and burnt hot dogs and all that type of stuff. Right. But he had to shock the system. He had to shock the Texas football body politic, if you will, to force a change. You know, they go 7-6, had a winning season, and then had, you know, the breakthrough year in 2018. Tom continues to say that team overachieved, and I would agree with him. I would agree that team did overachieve, right? But the problem is that set just crazy expectations for 2019. They took a step backward a little bit, but now here's a guy going into year four. He knows where all the kind of the landmines are internally. He knows he has the senior quarterback who can do some special things. He really likes the talent level. And I just feel like this is a guy who doesn't have to fake it anymore. It's like, hey, this is me. I'm the real guy, you know, and we're going to win some games this year. If we ever get to play.
True. Now, do you think it helps? Because he's mentioned this. I know he mentioned this in his interview, you know, with me, because, you know, one of the things I had asked him about was using his get out of jail free card, right? You fire two coordinators, get out of jail free. And what happens is all of a sudden Chris Delcani gives these guys multi-year deals. Like beforehand, everyone else was on one-year deals. Most assistants were on one-year deals who were remaining. But you get Bolware who gets a three-year deal. You get Yursich who gets a three-year deal. Ashline's a two-year deal, but that's basically because of his whole Rutgers buyout thing and whatever that was worked out. But he would have had a three-year deal at that point. Do you think that vote of confidence from Del Conte helps him to be confident and say, okay, whew, all right, he likes me. He's fully behind me. I can relax and be myself, in addition to what you talked about, the talent aspect that they have.
Absolutely. To me, it all goes hand in hand. I mean, listen, as the head coach, you are going to be on pins and needles if the athletic director says, let's not pay that much for that guy. You know, see if you can get somebody a little cheaper, right? Mm-hmm. Well, what about this guy? Well, I don't want to give him a multi-year deal. I mean, that just leads to all sorts of problems internally, right? And that's just no good for anybody. And besides, you know, Tom can say, okay, look, the athletic director and the administration feels really good about me right now. But as you and I both know, if you step out on that field and you go 4-8, you ain't going to be around for year four.
Sure.
Right? I mean, But I mean, no one expects him to go 4-8. I'm just saying that just because you got a bunch of new coaches with multi-year deals doesn't mean that you are off the hook from performing. Your team has to go out there and perform. There's no doubt about it. I mean, at the end of the day, this is a school that expects to be in the hunt for championships. And again, right now, the way Tom has established the talent, I mean, you know, or you and I used to talk about how, you know, can Charlie make 6-6, right? I mean, I feel like a winning record should be the floor now.
But yeah, I mean, clearly, you know, 7 should be, you know, your absolute floor. Like that should be like the lowest amount. Yeah. And clearly going into, you know, trying to get into that 9-10-ish, you know, type range. Should be also the thing with the main thing, obviously, with success going always going to be determined is do you at least make the Big 12 championship game, right? If you at least get to the Big 12 championship game, get to New Year's Six, at least most people would think that's successful. But here's my question, though, and it transitions to something else I was going to ask you, but along these lines, right? So one of the things we heard, you know, when Tom talked about was most of the playbook has been installed, you know, through the offseason, right? The winter conditioning, they were able to do some walkthroughs. So most of the playbook is installed, all right? And so and now it's just a lack of, you know, live reps. But, okay, let's break it down. 7 new coaches, 2 new coordinators, right? And even though Yurcich is adapting to the language, actually 3 new coordinators, but Yurcich is adapting to the language, you still have that learning curve. You've had no spring practice, had a defense that's gone from a 3-4 to a 4-3. You've got a new special teams coordinator who's going to have to implement what he's going to do on special teams. And you have a lack of live reps that has happened. So even though they have maybe installed, like, what is your level of concern knowing that there still are a lot of moving parts that would go into the 2020 season?
There's no doubt about it. You know, to me, the biggest X factor in all this is do the players come back in shape?
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, are they sitting at home just eating bonbons? Right. Or what's going on at the house? And the beauty of that is that every other team is in the same boat. Right. You know, the South Florida coach doesn't know if his players are staying in shape. Ed Ogeron doesn't know if his players are staying in shape and whatnot. So everybody can only go off what they see on Zoom, you know, quite frankly. But to your point, I mean, missing out on the practices is missing out on live practice repetitions where your sitch can go, all right, Sam, why did you do this instead of that? Or tell me why you did this or what did you see there? And that's how they can learn and learn more on the run. You're not going to get that in a meeting, in a Zoom meeting, right?
Mm-hmm.
To me, the biggest benefit of all of that is that, like I said, everyone's in the same boat, right? If they decide that we're going to have football on schedule, and let's say that they start on August 1, hypothetically, you know, everybody starts at 0 on August 1, you know. But if this thing gets pushed to the spring, who knows? But that to me is the biggest loss of what they're missing out on right now. You know, Joe Osai is, you know, one of my favorite players who's come along in a long time. But he's going to a new position, you know, and he needs reps at that position. He needs to see how tackles and tight ends are going to line up against him. You know, this secondary is hopefully it's surgically rebuilt. Knock on wood, but you know, is Caden Stearns going to be ready? Is BJ Foster going to be ready for live bullets? You know, you don't know until you practice. And so there's a lot of questions that have yet to be answered that nobody, not even Herman, will know the answers to until they get out there.
Can you do it in 30 days? Because I know you say everyone's in the same boat, but, you know, Lincoln Riley doesn't have a bunch of new coaches on his staff, and TCU doesn't have a bunch of new coaches on his staff, and the same for Gundy. You know, this is still a bunch of coaches who you talked about, you know, the players themselves are still a staff that, I mean, they're meeting, right? But they haven't had live bullets either to know how this guy reacts when things start getting pumped up and how does this guy react and who's, you know, when Herman starts screaming at you in a game,
right?
And is MFing you. So, I mean, there still seems to be like they would be at a slight disadvantage if all things were equal on August 1st, they still have 7 coaches that these guys have never worked with live reps.
No, I do agree with that 100%. But at the same time, when that first game comes against South Florida, or if they have to play just conference games, My thing would be is, look, I don't care how many Zoom meetings did you have. Hey, Brennan Eagle, run the go route. Sam, hit him over the top, right? Mm-hmm. Hey, Cosme, set the edge. Keontae, get around the edge and hit the hole, right? I mean, that's not coaching. That's just straight up what's your athletic ability, right? And, you know, both Texas and LSU are going to, hopefully, knock on wood, are going to get a first non-conference game to knock the rust off. And then I think that that matchup in Death Valley will be just as big in early September or late January. You know, I don't know. But I think on the restart, it's going to come down to just, you know, sheer athleticism initially, and everything else will kind of work itself out.
I'm trying to imagine what a DKR stadium looks like with either everybody wearing surgical masks in the stands or everyone sitting 6 feet apart from each other in the stands. I don't, or even in Death Valley.
What if there's no fans?
Okay. I mean, from a university standpoint, how does Chris Del Conte justify saying, okay, we're just going to play with no fans there, but we're going to pay USF or UTEP $1 million to come in, right? But yet you're getting no gate revenue, right? You're not getting parking, you're not getting concessions, like you're not getting anything, you're not really getting your ticket sales. I mean, all that. How can you even justify? Not saying you, but from the hypothetical situation, because obviously we've heard the situation posed, how does that make even financial sense? Did it just rely on the TV money at that point and just have to take everything from a stadium standpoint as a loss?
I think it would come down to how bad does college football need the TV money, realistically? I mean, we're already starting to see universities around the country make some hard choices. You know, Cincinnati cut men's soccer today. Mm-hmm. Old Dominion has already dropped wrestling. I think we're going to see a lot more stuff like that. You know, as you and I both have written, Texas is in a much better financial shape than a lot of those schools because, let's be honest, they're the richest school in America. You know,
sure.
So of course they've got money to. And they can have a cash cushion. But at the same time, if you take away football from the University of Texas, even UT is going to be in serious, you know, dire straits. Because I was looking at it again this morning. That's $47 million in football ticket revenue that would have to be refunded. I mean, that's a lot of jack.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah, it's a lot of money. So I don't think we're going to have game. Football with no fans, but I just don't think realistically they will do that. If you're telling me that it's not safe for the fans to come to the games, then why are you putting amateur athletes out there in harm's way, you know, coronavirus and all either?
So what do you think? I mean, like, well, let's we can start the winding down with this. All right. So the Big 12 says, you know, by basically May 31st, they'll have some sort of decision, right? But the reality of that is the decision is not going to be made on May 31st. It's going to be made a couple of weeks before May 31st. And they're not going to show up in the office on that day, and Bowlesby's going to do a Zoom conference call and say, all right, what do you guys think? I mean, maybe theoretically, but right. They're going to have an idea. They're going to have an idea.
What do you think?
Like, yeah, like, we're going to just go ahead and go, or we're not going to go ahead and go, right? Feeling they'll be made in conversations before that. And so, since I probably have the answer, in your mind, what does it take to have college football in the fall? Is it simplistic as the schools need to be reopened? And if the schools are reopened, then everyone's going back. I mean, unless, you know, I guess if you go to Liberty University, you can have football right now. But basically have to say, like, okay, summer school session one is closed, but, you know, summer school session two, as long as we do that, or fall ball, like what does it take in Brian Davis's point of view?
Well, number one, students have to be back on campus because there is not a university president on this planet that I think will allow athletics in a world where the entire student body is not allowed on campus. That to me is number one. Number two is, I think a lot of it's going to stem from what the NFL and the NBA and Major League Baseball do. If these pro leagues come out and say, hey, look, you know, we're getting restarted or we're going, I think colleges are going to take their cues from that and start leaning on university presidents to make the move. I mean, you know, you watch the news every day, you know, there's governors all over the country that are clearly they're antsy to put society back to work. There's no doubt about that. Right. Mm-hmm. You know, university presidents are terrified of lost revenue of not scholarships, but just enrollment revenue that they're going to lose if they turn students away. So there's a lot of incentive for people to get back going again. And, you know, as we sit here today, I think we might have football in the fall, but if you told me that football had to be pushed to January or not have it at all, then I say grab a coat and parka and let's meet just after New Year's, you know, for the South Florida game.
I mean, here's the thing though, you would have to have the NFL do the same, because that would then that would go in the NFL calendar of, you know, where Senior Bowl would be happening and the combines in February and then pro days. And then you talk about the draft that happens in April. Like you would, they can't do that. And then have the NFL play, because the NFL is going to say, what the hell is this? You guys are playing the games in March and we're having the draft in April, you know, and we haven't had a combine. Right. So there has to be some symmetry with that. Correct.
Absolutely. And that's why I'm saying that I think colleges will take their cues from the pros. You know, if governments start to reopen in May, hypothetically, I think we'll see training camp in August. I really do. You know, and if we have to sacrifice some fans not coming to games, like for example, like you know, if let's say 100,000 people would come to the Texas LSU game, right? Well, maybe only 60 or 70 come, mm-hmm. you know, hypothetically, right? I think we'll see lower attendance, you know, at events this first year until people kind of see how it goes.
How about that press box seating, huh? I mean,
you're sitting in my lap as it is, you know?
Yes.
So it's like, all right, I'm going to come sit in your lap. And then, you know, if anybody else gets in our way, we'll just lick them in the face, you know, just keep them off of us, right?
I mean,
but that's a good point. I mean, that's a great point. How do you social distance in a press box? You don't.
I mean, most people don't understand what a press box looks like, but it is literally side by side, barely enough room to move around. Food, there's some food, because you got to feed the media. We're a greedy bunch of people. But, you know, you get food that's dished out, little Tiff treats. I mean, everyone's just reaching little hands in there. It's just like it would be a total change. And, I mean, does the university allow tailgating? At that point, are you saying that that's okay? Tailgates could have 50 people, 100 people, whatever the case may be. I know it's a lot of questions, and we got to see what happens. But your guess is what? Just your 100% guess. No one's going to hold this over your head, but for the sake of a podcast in April that no one's going to remember come June, your guess is.
My guess is that we lop off the non-conference games and we start the year with the Big 12 schedule in late September or October.
Now that one actually makes a ton of sense. Actually, one thing, Brian, this is what is fascinating to me, and I haven't really asked enough people about this. You tell me if I'm crazy or if I'm just off base. It is be the last thing. We'll end on this. If it's supposed to. The virus is supposed to calm down more so in the summertime and then potentially mm-hmm. pick back up in the winter. Have you heard anything about the potential of just trying to move the season up? And while not ideal to start your season in July, but if you at least start in July, you're talking about the dead of summer, so you should be reduced. You talk about August, so you're still in reduced. And then by the time you roll around September, when it starts to get a little chillier, you know, you've got a shot to at least finish off a season. Like, have you heard anything of the possibility of saying, instead of going September, let's move it up to July? Or is that too risky?
Well, the one thing that I don't understand about this idea is that I've heard people bring this idea up and just shoot it down and call it, oh, that's a laughable idea. And my whole thing is, why is that laughable, right? Every idea should be on the table, right? I mean, what would be wrong with starting in July? I mean, you say, well, Texas heat, and I'm like, it's going to be hot no matter what. You play it, you're going to play at night anyway. So, I mean, I'm not opposed to that. I just don't feel like it's almost like that is so outside the box that people just can't get their head around it. Whereas pushing the season back in the normal school athletic year is something that they can grasp.
I mean, starting in the dead of winter. You're talking about starting in January. I mean, like, first of all, it starts getting cold. I lived in Michigan. It starts getting cold in September there. I mean, in these up north states, like, you start snowing in late September and early October. So I don't even
know.
To me, saying we're going to start in January, dead of winter, that seems crazier to me than starting in the summer when you feel like you may have a chance.
I know. And here's something else too. So let's say that the NFL, because you got to think like NFL owners do, and that's only 100% on their pocketbook, right? Yes. Okay. So if the health people go to the NFL and say, hey, listen, we really want y'all to start in October or November, but you know, let's just say October 1st. I guarantee you, those owners are going to go, well, then why are we waiting another 3 weeks to start in September like normal, right? Mm-hmm. And so I just don't know that NFL people are going to be hip to, like, instead of a 16-game season, let's shave it back to 12, you know? I don't know. I mean, I'm sure the players union would be all in favor of that. If they paid for 16 and worked 12, they'd love that. But to me, that to me is the barometer. If the NFL has a full season with training camp starting in August, you and I will be at the practice fields in August too.
All right, man. All right. Well, let's see, from your mouth to God's ears. Let's see what happens.
Absolutely.
It's good talking to you, Brian.
I appreciate being on any Drunk Uncle's podcast.
Yeah, man, I gotta
even if it's not my own drunk uncle.
Well, if you need one, you have one. You know what I'm saying? Like with me, you could say, you know what? I do finally have a drunk uncle who's going to spout off nonsense every once in a while. Is going to make you laugh every once in a while, but every once in a while is going to say something that makes sense, and you're going to say, wow. My drunk uncle came through. My drunk uncle gave me that stuff. That's kind of the genesis of the podcast.
That's right.
And that's what it is. So, well, cool, man. I have no qualms about saying, feel free to read the quality content from Brian Davis on hook'em.com. God knows I use a lot of their photos for my Sunday pulpit. So feel free.
Yes, you do.
I do. Yes, you do. Your guys are everywhere. Those guys don't miss a thing. I'm like, all I do is put into something in the search engine. I'm like, Tom Herman, Iowa State, hook'em.com. And there it is, like 15 pictures. So I appreciate your photographers, and I appreciate that all we got to do nowadays is just credit you. We don't have to pay a damn thing. Like, remember, back in the day, you had to pay for AP. Like, now you just credit, and you can rip it. So there's that. Well, anyway, Brian, thanks once again. I'll let you get back to doing whatever it is that you need to do. I don't know what you are doing in the off season other than trying to generate stories and stay employed. I mean, that's kind of what we're all doing right now as reporters, right?
That's what we're all doing. That's exactly what we're all doing. You listen, you stay safe. Take care of those growing kids.
All right, you do the same for yours. All right, brother. Thank you so much, Brian. And like I said, thanks for Brian Davis for showing up. And I am done with this podcast. So remember what I always say, live each day like it was your last, because one day it will be. And we'll definitely talk soon.